What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 31 of Value Town. I'm your host, Chanman V, and we've got a full show prepared for you guys today. Lots of stuff going on in the news. We've got a new card again. I feel like each and every week we do Value Town, we're getting new cards now. And we'll be talking about meta, just what the current meta is, what I guess all the folks here think that what the meta is right now. And then we'll talk about one of our guests' warrior decks, too, which has a few tweaks, which were pretty interesting this past weekend. What's going on, Trump?
Faking that it's my warrior
deck. Oh, it's your warrior deck. Okay. And we're going to be doing some Q&A again with you guys. And it's the same as usual, just on Reddit. Post your questions there. We'll ask the most upvoted ones. And so be sure to upvote your favorite ones as well as get your own questions in. And here's a link, guys, just in case you guys don't know. But I want to introduce the cast here, my co-host each and every week, everybody, or one of everybody's favorite streamers and the mayor of Valuetown, Trump. What's up? And we got two first-timers here, two first-time guests today. We've got Mr. Tides of Time here. He's fresh off two wins in the last few days, so he's like on fire here. We'll talk to him a little bit more about that. And then newly joining TSM here, Masan. That's some big news. We'll be talking to Masan just in a second about that too. But let's get on to the news. Just kind of alluded to the news there. And I want to kick things off with just the TSM news, Masan. So, big news, TSM's obviously a huge, huge team. I think lots of folks know TSM from the League of Legends community, but at this point, their brand's been, you know, really, really large now. They're obviously trying to get into Hearthstone, so you are their first player. So, how do you feel, man?
Feels good, I think. I think it's, hopefully it's a good pickup. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it will be beneficial for both team and me.
So were there a lot of other teams that were courting you before you decided on TSM?
There were three or four other teams who wanted to recruit me, but I think the TSM suits me the best. Their characteristic, I think it's what I want to go for, so I picked them up.
Cool. Do you know if there's plans to start, you know, just pick up some more players now, or are you probably going to be the one and only player for some time? Any idea?
They're trying to pick up new and other players to go along with. It's going to take some time because I think I was contacted like 2 weeks before everyone else. So we'll see how it goes.
Great, man. Yeah, I mean, TSM is crazy. I mean, definitely, obviously really, really huge. And what's the first event? You're going to DreamHack? Will DreamHack be the first event you represent them or a different one?
Yep. Wait, there's a Lord Arena thingy, and I don't know if I'm under their name.
Has it officially been announced?
First major.
It has officially been announced, right?
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah, okay, so. You could probably start using that name, I think, this weekend. But, yeah, Lord of the Arena, it's for those of you wondering what Lord of the Arena is the Raynaud tournament that they're going to be doing this weekend. I was going to plug it at the end, but we might as well plug it now. It's a tournament that's going to be consisting of six of the best arena players, I believe. And it's going to be it's like a constructed tournament, but it's going to be based off of arena drafts, which is cool. A lot more coming there. Be sure to watch it this weekend. It's on Sunday at 12 Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Eastern Time. So definitely check that out. News-wise, too, Tides, obviously you've been on a roll lately. You won the Deck Wars Season 1 Finals on the weekend, and then you followed it up with a King of the Hill win just the other night. So you mentioned taking a little break from Hearthstone and then just kind of getting back into it. Has that helped you out, that break? Because you seem to be playing really well lately.
I do try a bit harder in tournaments, so if you see me playing on ladder, like I'll make a lot more mistakes than I do in tournaments. It hasn't really helped me, but at least in terms of gameplay, but it's helped me in terms of stress, I guess. Just a nice 2 week relaxed break.
Yeah. Nice. How'd you feel in both? How'd you feel in the Deck Wars tournament, I guess? And we talked a little bit about it, but for those of you that didn't get a chance to catch it, obviously it was a 2-day event for you. Overall, how'd you feel about your play the entire tournament?
The first day, I think I made quite a few mistakes. I did make a lot of plays that were, I guess, hard to decide. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I made a lot of like really silly mistakes. Like against the Miracle Rogue in the Warrior versus Miracle Rogue matchup, I ended up taking like 9 unnecessary damage due to, you know, small misplays like 3 turns in a row. So I was pretty upset about that. Going in, I was feeling pretty confident. I didn't think mm-hmm. anyone was going to be running a warrior like mine. So, you know, it's going to take them by surprise. And I feel like Leroy Jenkins is actually pretty core on control warrior in this meta, which no one really knew. It just synergizes so well with Faceless, Whirlwind, Acolyte of Pain.
Yeah.
And, you know, rarely you're going to have Grom in time in a pressure-heavy warrior deck against a Miracle Rogue or something like that.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that warrior a little bit later here. That's going to be the deck that we're focused on this episode. Lots of cool stuff. I was even talking to Kit Kats a tiny bit, or heard Kit Kats talking about it, and he really, really liked the little tweaks you made to it. So that's really, really cool. But how about the King of the Hill? The King of the Hill, you seem to play some different decks, more standard decks than the King of the Hill, and you ended up taking that.
The King of the Hill, I was actually more comfortable with those three decks in the King of the Hill mm-hmm. than I was in the Deck Wars. I just took Strifecrow's Druid, like from Deck Wars. I looked at that list, and that was probably the list I was most scared of facing in the entire tournament. Mm-hmm. And I tried tweaking it a bit, and the only tweak I could come up with, or that I liked at least, was -1 Force of Nature, +1 Wrath. I think the 2 Force of Natures was more or less for the element of surprise. Because no one really expects 2 Force of Nature. Mm-hmm. Well, right. Some people expect it, but it's harder to play around 2 Force of Natures, I guess. The Wrath is just for more early game consistency. I figured in King of the Hill, it was more likely that I'd be facing opponents that had aggressive decks. So mm-hmm. that's the main reason why I really wanted 2 Wraths in there. And Miracle Rogue, I think, is irreplaceable in any tournament right now. Like, you can see pretty
it's
much
easily the most popular.
Yeah.
It's one of the most popular decks this weekend, for sure.
It's basically the strongest control deck. It's so fast.
Yeah.
And my other deck was Shaman, which Gara, my teammate, was strongly recommending I play against Reels. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I for the most part agreed with him, and I've had a lot of experience with Shaman in the past, so I was completely comfortable picking up a Shaman list.
Okay, great. I don't know, Trump, you have any questions or anything about news from these two guys? Otherwise, we'll move on. Okay, no problem. We'll move on, and let's talk about the new card, the new Nax card. Nax, gosh, I gotta get used to it. I keep saying Nox. It's a new Nax card. It's a Shaman card, and it's really cool. We get a chance to talk to about a new card each and every week. And let me bring it up real quick. I want to get your opinion. Trump, we'll lead off with you. Get your opinion on what you think this card is. Hold on a second here. Actually, what happened here? Hold on, give me a second. While I fix this, we'll talk about the cards here. Okay, so Rebirth is the name of the card, and you can see the text here. Destroy a minion, then return it to life with full health. So, how powerful is this card, Trump?
Uh-oh. It's hard to say. I'm leaning towards it being useless, even though it has a lot of cool applications.
Useless. Wow, okay. Generally, I think the opinions have been pretty good about it. So why do you think it's useless?
There's a lot of combos you can think about doing with it, but it's kind of situational. It's something that will be probably a lot better once you see more death rattles in the set. As stands, it kind of feels very situational and like you're forcing too much of a combo. It's sort of like if we were to release Inner Fire in Naxxramas and Divine Spirit were in the core set, you'd be like, whoa, Inner Fire? man, this combos so much with Divine Spirit. Priest OP now. But so that's kind of the same stretch as this Rebirth card. It's like, oh, yeah, you can combo with a lot of these cool death rattles, or you can combo with Leroy Jenkins, but Shadow Step combos better with Leroy Jenkins currently. Yeah, so it remains to be seen. I think it depends a lot on what other cards are, but I can't see much effective use for it right now.
Okay, Masan, you're making a lot of... You seem to, I don't know, disagree with some of those, given your facial expressions there. What are your thoughts on this Rebirth card?
I think it's a little too expensive. Like,
okay.
And I don't know if... There are a lot of cards has with cool death rattles, but most of them it's not worth full card, nor two mana. So, like, the only thing I can think of is it's really good. All right, first of all, it's anti-silence. But
yeah,
in Shaman deck, what cards can be silenced, and it's good. Like, there are not that many cards that you can silence on Shaman deck as of now. Obviously, it will be changed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we really... We'll have to say, like, maybe there are cards that just have better death rattle than card itself. Then, yeah, the Rebirth will be cool. Like, Sylvanas Windrunner will be amazing with this. But as of now, with the current card set, I think it's a little too expensive, taking whole card might not be the best.
Okay, Tides, what do you think about this Rebirth card?
It's definitely a synergy card, so yeah, I agree with Trump and Masan. You can't really tell how strong it'll be until more cards are released. The only card that it's strong with right now that I see is Nerubian Egg. It is the second anti-silence mechanic, the first one being Shadow Step, I believe. So there's that. I like to see new mechanics coming in the game, so I'm excited that, you know, there's more mechanics coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, as of now, it's pretty much just another Ancestral Spirit. Like, it's there, it's fun, it's cool, but you're not going to see it on the competitive level, most likely, unless there's more Nerubian Egg type cards coming in.
Okay, interesting. From a standpoint of Arena, Trump, do you see this being any more relevant in Arena, or no?
That's probably going to be one of the worst Arena picks.
Okay. That's pretty straightforward there. All right, so it'll be interesting to see. Can you guys see Sylvanas being introduced to the Shaman deck? Because right now, Sylvanas and Cairn and some of those with really cool death rattles, or really powerful death rattles, are just not in the Shaman decks.
Yeah, it's too slow for a Shaman.
Too slow? Okay. Well, okay, we'll see how this ends up working out, I guess, for the Shaman deck. There's plenty of neutral cards that are still left to be announced, so maybe this will have some great synergy with some of those cards, too. But next class...
I want to emphasize, even though we're trashing this card a lot, it's based on the imperfect information due to not seeing the rest of the set. A lot of people are saying, like, oh my gosh, this combo is so well with, like, the two big death rattle cards, Cairn and Sylvanas right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when you combo with Cairn, it's like you specifically get... You have to have Cairn out, and then you play your two mana spell to get a 4/5, which you can already do with, like, Ancient Watcher, kind of. It's really situational. And then your Sylvanas will get you a 2-mana mind control at random, which is pretty good. But that's also requires you to have Sylvanas out, and it's pretty tough.
True. Oh, so we have, what, 2 more classes or 3 more classes left? Just from a standpoint of Nax class cards?
Former classes, I believe.
Former classes, okay. So we still have Priest, Mage... I'm trying to think of...
Warlock.
Okay, Warlock, yeah. Priest, Mage, Warlock. And...
It's that last
is that it? Let me see what chat says. Chat's going to remember. What's the last one?
It's 9 classes, so we're missing one.
What are you doing, man?
I'm not doing anything.
Oh, Harry, you crack me up.
Hey, chat.
Okay, well, anyways, there's a few more classes left over, so we have a few more weeks. Maybe there's one a week, and then they're going to launch snacks. We never know. Well, that would put it in late June, early July, maybe. Getting excited. Can't wait. But let's move on to Meta Talk. And
Hunter.
Oh, Hunter. Oh, there we go, Hunter. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Hunter will be really, really, really interesting, given that everybody's been complaining about just Hunter needing some more things, just the entire, I guess, really the entire lifespan of Hearthstone. So we'll see if they introduce a new mechanic or new element to Hunter. But let's talk about current meta. Currently, I mean, last week, actually, we were talking about just how Hunters were dying down and how we were seeing some handlock and that sort of thing. But this week, I think it's pretty different, and Trump was already alluding to it, just probably changing the next week. So, Trump, what do you think of the current meta right now on the ladder? What's popular?
All right. Current meta is still very diverse. Not quite as diverse as last week, mm-hmm. but I'd say it's kind of narrowed down to five main decks, which would be Token Druid, Ramp Druid, Miracle Rogue, Zoo, Handlock, and I'm actually going to throw in a sixth one, Warrior.
Okay. All right. Which ones being, if you rated
Shaman
them...
Shaman, going to throw in a seventh one. I can't believe
seventh
I did.
Seventh one, okay.
Shaman.
Oh, yeah, Shaman.
Shaman.
Yeah, Shaman's good. I know Masan's been playing a lot of Shaman. I've been starting to play some too on the ladder, but so if you were to rank them, just kind of power wise, how would you top three right from those seven? What do you think?
Ugh. Well, since Shaman counters a lot of those lists mm-hmm. or has a favorable matchup, I'd say Shaman is one of them. And then from there on out, the best deck of those seven kind of depends based on what other decks are popular.
Mm, okay.
So it's hard to answer that. I'm going to go with a druid with anti-handlock elements and the zoo.
And the zoo. Okay.
Those are my top three.
Okay. Definitely been seeing a lot more watch a druid, at least personally. What about you, Masan? What do you think is the current meta right now?
Well, I agree with him. I agree most with what Trump said, and I just want to throw down mid-range druid in there instead of ramp druid and token. Mm-hmm. For top three decks, I would want to raid Shaman, mid-range druid, and the third one is just depends on because a lot of decks that Trump mentioned earlier counters each other, so it depends on what you're facing.
Right.
Since they're counter decks.
Tides, how about you?
I haven't been playing much ladder, but I'd say Shaman for sure, Miracle Rogue for sure, and Strifecrow Druid.
Okay.
What is a Strifecrow Druid? Just interrupt real fast. Since Strifecrow has run three or four different druids over the last week that I know.
He has two Argent Commanders in it. He has two Force of Natures. A Big Game, Black Knight, Gnomish Inventor, two Ancient Watchers, two Golems, two Yetis. And everything else is pretty standard in this deck.
Yeah, the Gnomish Inventor is really interesting. What do you think of that addition to it, Tides?
I really liked it. Every time I tried to take it out, I was talking about it with Raynad. He wanted me to take it out, but I didn't really like taking it out. It's an extra threat for Miracle Rogue. A lot of the times with Strikecrow's deck, the Miracle Rogues just can't afford to take that 2 damage every turn, mm-hmm. so they'll end up eviscerating a 2/4 that helped you draw. And it's just a nice cycle. It draws into more damage. And since it has Ancient Watchers in it, you're going to want a bit more draw on your deck. It's a nice card. I wouldn't put 2 in. I like the 1 in it, though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so have you guys seen much Hunter lately? Or any variation of the Hunter?
Yeah, I've seen it around. It has its place. It's really good. It's really good against Shaman, and it's really good against Handlock, which are actually two of the more popular decks right now. So,
yeah.
Last week I predicted the return of the Hunter eventually, even without any changes. And this week I will keep at it.
Okay, all right. The prediction continues. We're going to see more Hunters. But yeah, Shaman for sure is getting more popular. So that it made sense to me last week, and it still makes sense to me that would potentially be kind of shift, I guess, to make up for that. But what do you guys think of the meta right now? Do you think it's just, it's just constantly cyclical from week to week, or do you think it's in a really, really healthy place at this point? Because having it change is really, really cool. Having it, just constantly changing, but if it just kind of changes in the same way every 3 or 4 weeks, that's not so cool, right? So what do you guys think about the current state of it? Lisan, I'll get your opinion first.
I think it might be moving a little too fast, although it's just cycling between the same decks. Because I've been playing 4 or 5 different decks, and with all 5 of them, I have hit both top 10 and like top 300 with all 5 each differently. So like you can clearly tell, like if you just stick with one deck, it gets countered one day or another. One day it will do well, and then a day after it's going to get countered.
So do you guys track your matches? Like, you know, because of that, you know, and you mentioned a little bit too, just I think in the previous question, Masan, that it really just kind of depends on what you're playing that day. So do you guys actually track it? And if you're seeing a trend, at least for that day, you end up switching decks, you know, that might counter whatever you're seeing that day? Or do you just kind of try to stick with just one deck and just play through it and just play through probability type of thing?
Personally, I've only done that in one test season 4.
Okay, so just once. Mm-hmm. Trump, do you ever do that?
I think going off of one person's stats for one day is unreliable. Yeah. But yeah, I just think that the trends that I don't actually collect stats on Constructed. It's something that I think would be valuable, though. Okay. And I know there are programs out there which do it easily. I'll have to look into it someday. Let's see. I tend to try to forward think, though. So if I see things just slightly changing one direction, I'll try to stay one step ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Okay. Masan, do you track or no?
I stopped doing it.
Okay. I misinterpreted.
Well,
go ahead, Masan.
Wait, what do you mean I misinterpreted?
No. Go. All right. Unrelated.
I actually stopped doing. I used to track, and then I stopped tracking because I play about 3 to 4 different variation and just different deck of a hero at a time, and it's really it just made me unreasonable to keep track of every single one of them.
Okay, I see. You misinterpreted. Did you misinterpret
the
question?
Oh yeah, the question. Yeah, I thought you were like try to counter the decks you're facing on that day. Like, you know, have different decks ready to counter the decks.
Yeah, not so much that, okay, as much as just kind of tracking what's going on. The reason I brought it up is because I was talking to Admirable, I think, the other night, and we were just talking about laddering and just, I think, just laddering efficiently and stuff like that. And he was like, dude, the biggest mistake that a lot of people have is they just don't track their matches. Because I don't track my matches. I usually just try to play whatever deck, you know, I kind of want to learn more and that sort of thing. And he's like, yeah, dude, you can ladder like much, much quicker if you just track your matches. And then depending on, you know, what trends you're seeing, just make adjustments. And then just have, you can play the same deck. Just make adjustments for this type of trend and then make a counter adjustment for this type of trend. You know, maybe it's that 1 or 2 cards and that sort of thing. So that's kind of why that I asked that question, because I've never done it before. And
I think
it
that it would have been true like a month ago when meta wasn't as shifting as fast.
Mm, okay.
But as of now, I don't know, it's the meta changes from day to night, so I don't know if it will make sense to track of them and try to counter a meta of a single day, and then at the night you have to change your deck differently, and I don't know, like if you play enough games, then maybe, but I don't know if you can play enough games in a short period of time to counter the decks you're seeing fast enough.
Right. Okay, makes sense. All right, let's move on to our deck talk. And today's deck we're going to be talking about is Tide's deck, Tide's Warrior deck that he actually alluded to. And he played it in the Deck Wars Season 1 Finals this past weekend. And he had a lot of success with it, too. So I kind of wanted to have him explain some of the card choices there, and you alluded a little bit to Leroy Jenkins already, so why don't you continue that a little bit? So how is this deck a little bit different, or I guess what decks is this deck good against versus, say, with the Kit Kats, the latest Kit Kats deck is? It's a good
game. So I don't know Kit Kat's exact list. But I basically made it so it can beat the mirror. Most of the time it can beat... It has a higher chance to beat Miracle Rogues in comparison to other Control Warrior decks. And it actually played against Ramp Druid like 5 times in a row on ladder, like the morning before I played. It's pretty comfortable against late game Druid. More mid game Druid is probably going to be around 50-50. It just felt like a very solid deck to me, and it's no one's going to really expect this much pressure from a Control Warrior, so I decided I'd go with it in Deck Wars Finals. I don't really like it on ladder because there's so much zoo, and I need to put in probably another Pyromancer and or a Brawl to really make it good versus zoo. I don't think Brawl is good versus Shaman. I know I get a lot of questions like asking me, shouldn't I put Brawl in because there's so many Shamans or something, but I've found that Brawl really never helps me actually win against Shaman, just delays the game a bit. You usually want to kill the Shaman like by turn 15 to 20.
Okay. Trump, anything specifically stand out to you in this deck?
Well, I guess the main notes are that it removed a Alexstrasza and a Ragnaros for a Leeroy and Wild Pyro. And there's one other card in here. Oh, that Leeroy Jenkins. Wait, so Alexstrasza, Ragnaros for Leeroy.
There's double faceless in this one too, I think, that the other one doesn't have.
That's right. I sort of have a hard time seeing how this is better against the mirror because it seems like you might run out of damage.
Okay, that's a good point. Ty, do you ever you find that
happening? The two faceless, more or less, make the mirror hell for the opponent. You're going to draw a bit more. You're going to draw equally, more than likely, because the two Zero Drakes. Some mirrors don't run two Zero Drakes, some do. Karen, Sylvanas, two faceless, big game. All help the mirror so much. Alexstrasza is, it's way too slow. This is just pressure deck. It's going to do nothing 99% of the... Or not 90, probably like 97% of the games. But Harrison Jones obviously is good for the mirror. It doesn't have Gore Howl.
Why did you take Gore Howl, actually? That's a... Because that's...
Too slow. I don't have Alexstrasza as well.
Okay, too slow.
I'd rather put in Arcanet Reaper. Because this is a pressure deck. It's Gore Howl is for control. Yeah, mainly the two faceless, Harrison Jones, Karen Sylvanas, really, really help with the mirror. And then if, there's ever a Control Warrior that doesn't run Drakes or Corcoran Elites, those are also advantageous in the mirror. So, yeah. I don't know. I have really never had any trouble in the mirror matchup. I've actually won 85% of the mirror matchups, at least.
Masan, anything stand out to you about this deck?
Can you guys hear? Okay,
yeah, good. Can you hear me?
I can see that this deck will do pretty darn well against Control as well as Miracle Rogue. But how does it do against, not necessarily Zoo deck, but I don't... I feel like I'm missing some early games on this game. Like, you took out Armor Smith, you took Slam, so your draw shouldn't be as consistent until Zero Drake, but Zero Drake doesn't help against aggro. How do you do against the other aggro decks?
The aggro decks, yeah, I said this doesn't do so well in the ladder because it doesn't have as much AoE as I'd like to. Minus one Armorsmith, minus one Slam doesn't really take away against Zoo. Having no Brawl, having not a second Pyromancer is the only thing that really takes away from Zoo. I don't have Argus or anything, so I can't I used to run one Argus in my old Warrior deck, and basically if I ever got a big creature down, I just win with an Argus on the board and faceless. Aggro on the board and faceless. Aggro is probably this deck's biggest weakness.
Yeah, I think you can kind of see that. But how does it match up against even the mid-range druid? Like, how does that battle usually work out?
I said it's like a coin flip.
It's just a coin flip, okay.
Whoever has a really good start usually wins.
All right. Yeah.
Execute, Shield Slam are really, really powerful against any druid.
Yeah.
And then Two Faceless carrying Sylvanas carry you through games. Drake kind of carries you through the game as well.
I do like the fact that you do have the option for the Faceless Leeroy. So it gives you another 12 damage type of burst that's not just Grommish and Taskmaster. A lot of times, I feel like some of these warrior games, these control warrior games, you're just waiting on that sometimes, that combo. So maybe you can get like back-to-back 12 damage bursts, which could be pretty cool.
Yeah, the Faceless really makes the deck versatile, mm-hmm. I guess. You know, you can, against Zoo, you'll Faceless Doomguards oftentimes. And then, you know, against Druid, you can Faceless your units or their units. Mm-hmm. Against Controller, you can Faceless their monsters.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, man. Let's move on. If anybody has any last questions on this deck, we'll move on to some Q&A with the viewers. Okay, so let's move on. And I'm going to take a look at Reddit, guys, and start asking some of these questions you guys have. I'm going to sort by top. Let's see what we got here. Okay, so I think S0 Sozin asks, the majority of decks currently played on ladder are based around either drawing into an OTK combo or mid-range with a 10-plus damage finisher. Do you guys feel like there's currently too much burst damage in the game? I'll ask Masan this. What do you think, buddy?
Well, I think the burst damage actually makes the game more fun. So
yeah.
As long as it's not like 30 damage burst in one turn like America Rogue, that's more like a solitary, but like 14 damage a turn up to like 18-ish, I think it's acceptable.
Okay.
So I don't think there's enough. Well, all right, I think there's a like reasonable amount of burst damage that makes you more think.
It makes you more wary of trying to play around that sort of bit, right?
Yeah.
Trump, thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's all right. You see less of it when there's more aggro around, since aggro is more about consistent damage
mm-hmm.
as opposed to burst. It feels like a little bit too much, but I'm okay with it.
Okay. Tides, what do you think?
I'm okay with burst damage as long as it's not just aggro versus aggro all day. Like, I don't care. as long as there's, like, you know, multiple decisions to be made every turn that, you know, aren't just trade units properly, I'm okay with whatever burst damage is in the meta.
You've complained about Gadgetzan in the past. So that's kind of one of the drawing, I guess, one of the things that we see right now, right? Drawing into an OTK combo. Do you still think Gadgetzan's a big problem right now?
I've complained about Gadgetzan.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it in the interview.
I mean, I guess he's a little overpowered in Miracle Rogue with backstab and preparation. It's very, it's not like an obvious nerf like Unleash the Hounds was.
Yeah.
There's, like, the only nerfs you can really think, or I can really think of, is plus one mana cost, then that completely makes the card crap. You can make it so it only can draw three in one turn, but that's just, it's still going to be really strong in Miracle Rogue. And then it kind of takes away from other classes that might want to do huge combos with it, which would kind of be sad because, you know, other classes wouldn't be broken with unlimited draw. I don't know. I really don't know how to nerf Auctioneer.
But currently, the draw mechanics are... a lot of people have been complaining about Unleash the Hounds kind of draw mechanic with the Buzzard, and some folks have some complaints about the Gadgetzan. Do you guys have any problems with it? I mean, obviously, Tides, your problems with the Gadgetzan isn't as much as I was thinking originally, but do you guys think that the current draw mechanics are flawed in any way? Trump?
I actually like the fact that a card like Gadgetzan is around because it allows for a very different deck. Whether or not that deck's a bit too strong, I'm not sure. there seemed to be counters around it. Yeah. Tides was, I mean, from my experience in the ladder right now, Miracle Rogue is on the decline, so it seems like it may not be quite that good, at least against the entire field.
Right. Okay, let's move on to the next question. Let's see. Well, next question is from VF Kaza. On a scale of 1 to 2 mana on a scale of 1 to 2 mana Unleash the Hounds, how broken is Leroy Jenkins? On a scale of 1 to 2 mana?
Oh, it's about a 3
mana.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's about a 3 mana.
It's about a 3 mana. Nice.
That's how broken it is. Like, you know, it's Unleash the Hounds is still a strong card. Leroy is a strong card at 3 mana.
Yeah. Masan?
It's pretty equivalent to Unleash the Hounds right now.
I'm not sure if I understand the question correctly.
It's, okay.
It's like, in scale of 1 to 2 mana, like, you say asking whether... Yeah, I'm not sure.
He's comparing a 2 mana Unleash the Hounds to...
Yeah, he's comparing... Right now. Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing.
I don't think the Leroy is as strong as 2 mana Unleash the Hounds. Not even close to it.
Yeah.
But 3 is comparable, yeah.
Okay. I think it's about 2.5 Unleash the Hounds.
2.5.
Somewhere between there.
Okay. Alright, next question. A bit of an odd question from Coolboy Pie, but does the side of your hand that you play a card from matter? Especially for more high-level tournament games. For example, if you had a Flamestrike in your hand and drew into another Flamestrike, would you play the one on the right side of your hand, the newer one, instead of the left one? Okay. So would you, I guess, fake that you're top-decking something versus something that you've been holding for a while?
I actually did fake a lot back when I didn't stream, but I completely dropped that habit when I started streaming, because it's just pointless. But I'd have to say it depends on if you do actually do that. It depends on how the matchup has been played up until that point. Like, you know, it might be left. The correct answer might be left or right, depending on the situation.
Okay, Masan, do you ever pay attention to, I guess, metagame your opponent to some extent with how you're controlling your hand?
Unless I'm afraid of him overwhelming me. I typically just use the one I just drew because he might assume that I don't have another one because I used the one that I top decked and overcommit on something that I can abuse.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Trump, you exercise this technique too?
Actually, I have thought about this for some time, and I'm going to take the opposite stand in this one. So when you're playing a constructed or an arena game and your opponent's been holding like one or two cards for a while, in just normal day-to-day games, you don't pay as much attention, but in tournaments, like, opponents might just be staring at those cards, seeing whether or not they've been played. There's a serious difference between playing the one or two cards that you've held for the entire game or the one you just drew. So if you play the one that you've been holding for a long time, the opponent might think, oh, you actually are out of it now since you actually played the card I expected you to have. So now you're just top-decking. And then say you top deck the same card, then you actually have another one. If you played the one you top deck, then maybe your opponent still thinks you have another one. So there's a different signal that you might be sending. And it also depends on what your opponent's thinking. You play the personality. It's sort of a minor point, but it is worth considering a bit.
Okay. Henry Audubon asks, would King Crush be OP?
Wait, hold on. Oh. Can I make a comment on that?
Yeah, sure.
On very late game phase, I very much agree with the Trump. Just giving a thought, like on if you're at like last 10 cards, in that sense, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I also did bluff in the monk matchup. There's one turn where I ended up not saying oops, but I was thinking about saying oops because I didn't armor up, but I didn't armor up intentionally because I had two cards left and I needed Grom.
Oh, right.
The Shield Slam would have killed my Grom if I drew him. So I wanted I wanted him to deal, you know, enough damage to me. Yeah. So, I felt like if I said oops, it would have been too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I guess that's like, you know, maybe a mind game I was playing with myself, but, yeah.
No, that's cool. I mean, I think we'll see a lot more of that. Yeah, exactly.
Low enough.
Of course, right?
To shield Sungrom.
I think we'll see more of that. More of that in tournaments. That'd be really, really cool, and hopefully, you know, folks will point it out and that sort of thing. Because like one of you guys were alluding, streaming really removes a lot of that kind of mind game gamesmanship type of thing. Since
yeah,
a lot of people are ghosting.
Off of back when there's the Molten Giant charge combo.
Mm-hmm.
I won a ton of matches off of like bluffing if I had Brawl or if I had the two Molten Giants, if I had the combo in my hand. Like I just did various ways of bluffing. I won so many matches because, you know, they'd think I had one thing, but, you know, yeah.
Well, have you a point where they've quit early?
No.
Where they just concede?
No, I've never bluffed that much, no.
Oh, man. I think I've done that one time where I do the combo really slow, and then they just concede because they just rage so hard. Whenever it was the Hunter combo a long time ago, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, Henry Audubon, would King Crush be OP if he was 8 mana?
No.
Nope? That's a tie? Okay. What's the biggest issue with King Crush?
Any creature that costs that much mana, I guess has to have an immediate effect. Like, if you compare King Crush to... Okay, obviously Ragnaros mm-hmm. is superior, more than likely, right? 8 to 9 mana, and, you know, Ragnaros doesn't damage himself.
Yep.
Also, if you compare him to, like, something like a Molten Giant, a Mound Giant, you know, you're getting them out for way cheaper and the same attack slash defense value. But, the charge thing, it gives him an immediate effect, but 9 is just, you know, a bit too much. Okay. There's no reason not to put him to 8 mana. Same with Nazdormu. Like, Nazdormu really needs a buff. He's the weakest card in the game right now.
Yeah, I think that would be so cool. And we've discussed Nazdormu in the past. I wish it was a smaller minion, period. Not a dragon, but
yeah.
That's kind of Nazdormu, so it's hard to get around that. Okay, let's see. Next up, Whole Wheat is Good For You asked, there's a popular streamer the last few months who streams Rogue exclusively named Freegold. His decks not only involve Miracle, but other tactics such as OTK with 1 to 2 mana addicts. If they're not killed and overdrawing their opponent's hands and then milling them with cards like Cold Light, Oracle, King Muckla, and Vanish. These decks do really well against control decks like Warrior, Druid, Handlock in the Legendary ranks. That said, what do you guys think about the use of those cards, let alone those decks, in competitive tournaments? Do you guys especially think milling can work in tournaments and not just laddering? Also wondering if any of you played him on ladder, and if so, what was your result? Trump, I get your opinion on what do you think about these type of milling decks?
I want to caution myself since I haven't really seen that deck in action, but I would say that it's probably not a milling deck as much as it is a take advantage of the fact that your opponent can't draw the cards so that you actually gain some card advantage. I would doubt that that type of deck wins on fatigue, so I wouldn't call it a milling deck. That said, I've heard of this Freegold fella. He's a very popular Miracle Rogue streamer and uses a few offbeat strats, and I think that's great. These experimental decks could be really good if they make it into the mainstream,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't personally played against him. I think that his results speak for themselves, though. So yeah. If he makes it to a high rank, then you should consider playing his decks.
Okay. Hassan, you ever run into Freegold?
I have not. I would like to see this deck played at very high level first, like at the hand of other player as well, to see holes in there. As far as the milling effect goes, I think it's just a little too inconsistent for now, because you're banking on the fact he's going to discard key card, but he might have that card already.
Yeah. Like losing a Leroy or something like that.
Yeah.
In a Miracle. Tides? How about you? I mean, I know you're
pretty
experimental before.
Yeah, I've actually played, you know, pretty much those exact decks myself long time ago in the past. Mm-hmm. They're basically strictly worse versions of Miracle Rogue. They're winning against control decks because, you know, Miracle Rogue's the strongest control deck, you know, in the late game, or mid-late game. Like, Mana Addict is better than Miracle Rogue if you have the perfect draw, like, you know, standard Miracle Rogue, but mm-hmm. very rarely will you have the perfect draw for a Mana Addict. The whole, you know, Mukla, Shadow Step, Cold Light, Lorewalker Cho even, they can work in a positive effect if you have a perfect hand, like Mukla, Shadow Step, and they don't have an answer to Mukla, like you're just going to wreck them, because you get to trade with whatever creature they play. Shadow Step the Mukla, play it for one mana, blah, blah, blah. yeah, they're just fun decks. They're strictly worse than Miracle.
Okay.
So, well, I want to step in for a moment and say, not strictly worse. They're better in some matchups, and they're worse in some, and I guess from your perspective, you'd say they're worse against what you would expect to play. And that's fair. I was just reminded that I did actually play against Regal once, and he did beat me with the Mana Addict. And it's a fun variant.
Mm-hmm. Could you see it maybe being a secret deck, you know, that sort of thing, pulled out in the tournament? Because we've yet to see anything like this in any of the tournaments. Any of you guys? Could you ever see it in tournament play?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, moving on. Heat check, interesting. Hey, Tides, congrats on the tournament wins. Tell Ray not to pick up the slack. I was wondering, what do you do to prepare for tournaments? Beyond testing decks and analyzing meta, what's different about tournament play compared to ladder? I decided to get into Hearthstone competitive scene and wanted your advice on how to position myself for success.
Well, to prepare for deck wars, I was basically in full panic mode and trying to figure out what all the strong decks at the moment. So, I felt like Leroy Jenkins, no one was really playing that in Control Warrior, so I decided to hide that and not play it on ladder or anything until the morning of. But I basically just picked out the strong decks, decks that I think can win versus all the other strong decks. And I talked, for the King of the Hill thing, I talked with Gara a lot. And, you know, he's just giving me advice. And, you know, we were trading ideas on what we think is the most ideal shaman deck. And especially for, I couldn't really prepare for any specific opponent for deck wars, but I could prepare for reels and King of the Hill. So the shaman deck was basically designed to be able to, we thought, like, 100% sure that, not 100%, 99% sure, that he's going to run a Rogue and Druid, and this Shaman deck was going to do, you know, probably 60% versus Rogue and really high percent against Druid. Mm-hmm. And Druid was his most unique and strong deck, so I really wanted to be able to beat that. But yeah, it's really nice if you can have another really good player that you can collaborate with. Mm-hmm. To prepare for tournaments, and then you get to, and then I do some test runs against some of my friends as well as my teammates for stuff like Reels Druid versus Handlock. I was actually doing that on stream with Raynad. And then as far as like if I'm just doing it solo, I guess I am just thinking what decks. What do I want as my Vanguard deck, like, against his lineup that he's most likely going to, you know, put up? So, I guess, for example, against Admirable, I saw that Miracle Rogue could basically stomp on two out of three of his decks, and, you know, his other deck was a Miracle Rogue. I felt like my Miracle Rogue was superior in the mirror matchup, because we got to see each other's deck lists. Mm-hmm. So I chose Miracle Rogue, because I felt like it had the best chance to win against any deck that he put up front. And he made the right choice of choosing Miracle Rogue as well. And I wanted to save my other two decks, because I'm trying to think. there was, oh yeah, I had Handlock and Warrior. In case his Miracle Rogue won against mine, I wanted to save my Handlock, because Handlock was the next best deck against Miracle Rogue that I had in my lineup. Mm-hmm. So, stuff like that. You're just, like, preparing ahead of time in case you win or lose the matchups. And you don't want to lose, like, you don't want to lose your deck that can, your only deck that can beat, you know, their deck for almost for sure. Yeah. If that makes any sense. I'm not making any sense. I'm explaining it wrong.
Well, it's just strategy on what to lead off with and that sort of bit. Yeah, I get that.
You have to identify your most valuable deck, I guess. And, you know.
It sounded like you led off with your most valuable deck. Like, at least against Admirable.
Yeah, because my other two decks, I kind of felt like they could counter his decks if... Or counter his Miracle... Like, all three of my decks I made so they could be strong against Miracle Rogue. Mm-hmm. And I felt like if his Miracle Rogue ended up beating mine, well, you know, I can follow it up with a deck that is likely to beat his Miracle Rogue.
And still give you a chance the rest of the way. And yeah. If your Miracle Rogue wins, you could sweep it, kind of mentality.
Yeah. Okay. And, yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
Cool.
It's just... a lot of decision making and what order you want your decks, what order you expect your opponent to put up. And in King of the Hill, we didn't get to know each other's deck lists or our classes. So I played Druid in the first round because I felt like Strifecrow's Druid was the strongest against all classes. Mm-hmm. And I knew nothing about my opponent. So yeah, I just chose Strifecrow's Druid deck first. And against Reels, I chose Miracle Rogue first. I wanted to I didn't want to lose my Shaman deck, because I felt like it was the most valuable. I wanted to play Miracle Rogue first, because he might open with Handlock, yes, but Miracle Rogue, I think, is slightly favored in the Handlock matchup, even though Handlock is pretty good versus Miracle Rogue in general.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right, good stuff. All right, maybe one or two last questions here. Darth Yoda 19 asked, Handlock Twilight Drake replacement. I've been using Handlock deck a lot in the May season. I feel like Handlock's biggest non-matchup weakness is dropping Twilight Drake turn 4 only to have it Earthshocked or silenced. This seems like a gamble, inefficient use of mana. Since this is Value Town, would there be a viable replacement for the Drakes to get more value? If not, please defend keeping it. P.S. Keep up the good, awesome work. Shout out to Trump. Really enjoying his Twitch. All right, so Trump, given that you got the shout out, why don't you take this question?
Yeah, okay. So the reason why Twilight Drake's being run is because it is the ultimate value card. There's no 4-drop minion, which has more stats than it. I'm going to cautiously say that, but I'm pretty sure that's true, when you tap into it. The one weakness is Earthshock, that's true. If you truly want to replace it because like everyone's running Shaman or everyone's suddenly running Owl for some reason, then you'd probably put in Yeti if you want to be more aggressive or Taz Dingo if you want to be more defensive.
Okay. Masan, what do you think? Any replacements you could think of?
That's exactly what Trump said, actually. Like, unless everyone else somehow runs Owl or Shaman, I don't see any reason that you would replace, because even against the trade, if you think about it, if he gets a silence, then you still trade with their 4-drops, and you delay the game until you can get the Giants. So, mm-hmm. I think it's a good word it is. It has insane stack, but it needs some weakness to... It has some weakness.
Right. Okay. Tides, any thoughts on that?
Yep. Earthshock and Owl are its counters, and any other silence, you know, Twilight Drake typically still gets value against. In deck wars, I put in Yeti and Senjin, and I had 0 Twilight Drakes, but I think I regretted that decision. I didn't really play the Handlock much, but...
You ended up changing it on the last day, right? I think you, mm-hmm. you swapped it back in.
First day I had Twilight Drake. Second day I had one Taz Dingo, one Yeti.
Yeah.
I figured since there's a lot of Shamans and Handlock in that tournament, that, you know, I'd make that change.
Yeah.
But even if you're going against shamans, like, they do need to have Urshak in their hand. And late game, you can Shadow Flame it, and Urshak is actually strong against you mid-late game as well, if they're not forced to use it on a Twilight Drake, because they want to get through the taunts and just deal that extra damage when you place your Molten Giants. So, okay. I think it's pretty core in Warlock still.
Okay, last question.
Oh, overridden.
Overridden.
So this
okay.
just in.
Yeah?
The Hearthstone World Championships prize pool has been decided, and there is a $250,000 prize pool. Dollars. First
wow.
place getting $100,000. News just released about 30 minutes ago.
All right, let's take a look at this. Yeah, it's just there's a question here about the $100,000. So, $200,000 is 100 for first? Oh my gosh, it is $100,000 for first place. This is crazy. Oh, this is awesome. Okay, let me switch over here. All right, for those of you who haven't seen the announcement, here we go. Yeah, so 100,000 first place, second place 50,000, third and fourth 15, which is already great, fifth through eighth 7,500, and 5,000 for 9 through 16. Okay, so top 16 get money, but first place 100,000. Reactions. Masan, what do you think?
I think it's really good. We get 4 Hearthstone scene, and to get money to just be there.
Yeah, I mean, it was already great just to be world champ, really, but good. Man, 100,000 is crazy. Tides, 100,000.
This is actually a really good sign, because obviously, but Blizzard in the past has not helped esports as much, and they're helping out Hearthstone in the esports realm already with like a tournament like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good sign coming out from Blizzard, and that's a decent amount. I think this is just the start, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Trump.
So I looked into a bit of the format. So the good news is whoever actually makes it into the BlizzCon main tournament, I believe the World Championship, is guaranteed at least $5,000, because 16 people are going. This is just on a quick glance, but I think that might be right. The tough part is qualifying into the main tournament,
yeah,
where there's going to be over 100 people qualifying for 4 spots, I believe. But that is going to be some heavy competition, and of course they're really strongly encouraging the latter
mm-hmm.
with this, which is great.
Yeah,
going to see some really strong play in Constructed.
So you guys making a push the last week of the month here? I mean, we're almost coming down into the last week of May, and that's usually when it gets pretty crazy when we're talking about racing for the top 16. I know, Trump, you are, but Masan, Tides, you guys going to try to make a push this month?
I'm going to be pretty busy. I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
If I do, it's going to be in the last 4 or 5 days.
Masan, how about you? Oh. You muted? Oh, you're still muted. That's what it is.
There we go.
Trying to make a push this season?
For me, I don't actually know if I can participate in EU or NA qualifier, since I'm Korean citizen.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
As for Koreans, OGN has given 2 tickets, and they have not made an open qualifier or tournament in the past, so I'd like to see that happen if it happens. If it doesn't happen, I will be sad, because they're just going to send whoever went to OGN Invitational, I think.
Oh, that's who's going to make it in?
Well, if they don't make it open, and they haven't made it open, I don't think, in the past.
Okay, I see.
Or other games.
Question, this is only, it's only available via ladder to get into the qualifiers?
I thought so. Is that not the case?
Oh, no, I'm just asking.
I thought you had to at least get into the qualifying tournaments, which...
The way that I understand it is there's 16 times 6 people who are qualifying from the ladder, 6 months. That's
right.
96, and then I think there's going to... The thing says, and this is for Europe, there's 130 players who make it in, so it sounds like a little bit over 30 people will be getting in via tournaments, community tournaments or last call tournaments.
Cool. Oh, that'd be really great. Okay, so that's kind of what Masan was talking about there with the OGN possible invites. That'd be great. But no, this is really exciting. I mean, 100,000, 100,000 is a lot. There's not many esports right now that has a first place of 100,000. I think we're a little bit jaded when we see like the international that has like 6 million for number one. But 100,000 guys, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, and counting, right? But this is the first step for Hearthstone, and it's, you know, it's really, really great that Blizzard's actually making a step with this. And who knows, you know, maybe we'll see some cool type of compendium type of things with Blizzard, and the Hearthstone prize could be somewhat crowdfunded too and into something enormous, amazing for all you players also. So really exciting. Gosh, can't wait. Definitely can't wait. Definitely push for the ladder, guys, this season or whichever month that you have the time to try to get into the top 16 and just qualify for the tournament. When's the last month? Do you guys know? Is it September, October? Because BlizzCon's in November.
It's August, so said 6 months, but 5 months. And okay. One of the months is done, so four more months.
August is coming up, so it's going to be crazy competitive in the next few. Good stuff. All right. Well, there was one more question I was going to ask. I'm not sure which it is now. Let me see.
I think that's an exciting enough.
Yeah, that's probably an exciting enough ending there. But let's wrap the show, guys. Tides, Masan, great having you on for the first time, and hopefully you guys had a good time. But you want to do some shout-outs and thank yous? Start with Tides.
Oh, shout-out to Tempo Storm, the team with Reynad, Recful, and Gaara, possibly more in the future. And I'm looking forward to DreamHack coming up. I'm looking forward to the Lord of the Arena tournament coming up. And just one other thing, but I forgot. You guys can go.
Masan.
Well, shout outs to my team, TSM, Team Solo Masan, Team Solo Mid. And it's the sponsors Alienware, Kingstone, and Lost Tech. So, and I believe they're trying to recruit more players, so check them out in future. I think Ty's already made the shout out for Lord of the Arena. So please stay tuned on Sunday.
Okay. Trump?
Yeah. Shout out to Team Solo Masan again. I really like the arena tournament, so be sure to check that out on Sunday, 9 a.m. Pacific. And shout out to Amos, who will be joining me in a duet sometime this weekend, I believe, if most likely.
Oh my god.
Yes! That's going to be awesome. Oh my god. Is that going to be live on your stream, or is that going to be a YouTube video? Or
It'll be on my stream. We're going to set the logistics, but should be able to set up sometime this weekend.
Okay, awesome. We got Lord of the Arena, and we got duets by Trump and Amos. That's a pretty packed weekend there. I'll just end things off by thanking you guys, obviously, for doing the show, all of you viewers for watching, too. I'll reiterate once again, Lord of the Arena, it's going to be this weekend. It's going to be on Reynad's stream, too, so definitely check it out there. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be casted by Krip and Frodan, also, so good stuff. And I think that's going to be it, guys. So for Valuetown this week, this is Tides of Time, Masan, Trump, and Chanman V. We'll see you next time. Later.
Thanks for having me. See you.